My sermon title for today is, What's Hindering You? Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Break us, make us, mold us, and use us, O God. I come before your presence this morning, Lord Jesus, giving you thanks and praise. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as I stand to deliver your word, that you, O God, will speak through me, that hearts will be open to receive your word, O Heavenly Father, and that lives may be changed. Thank you, O God, for using me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for seeing me through this day. And I pray, O God, that whatever I speak, O Father, will come from you, O God, and you alone will get all the glory. I ask these in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus was speaking to these people about the cost for following him. Everything in life has a price. And everything and anything worth having costs something. The question is, are we willing to pay the cost? So you want to be a doctor, like Doc Santoro. He'll tell you, hard years of studying, staying up late at nights, beating the books, then med school, residency, and specialization. That's a lot. You want to be an attorney at law. Years of studying, then study for the bar, then study some more, then practice. You want to be a musician. Years of practicing. Years of nights of studying, honing your skills. Practice, practice, practice. You want to be a teacher, the same thing. And all the various professions. You want to be a pastor, like Reverend Nunes, or some other pastor, years of studying, seminary, studying, learning the Bible. So everything in life has a price. Anything we buy has a price. Sometimes you see MSRP, manufactured retail, suggested price, okay? But what we pay for it in the end sometimes is less. Now, from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62, we read about the Samaritan refusing to receive Jesus. You know, this was when Jesus was nearing the time to be taken up, to be ascended. So, people are still refusing him today, but they didn't want anything to do with him, okay? He was going to Jerusalem, so let him go along, okay? But on the way, he met some people, and one said to him, I'll follow you. But before that, he said, I will follow you. He said, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, he had nowhere to lay his head, because he didn't come to tarry. He came to accomplish something. Okay, he came to redeem us. So he had to live, he had to teach, he had to call others to follow him so he can leave them behind, and then he's going back to the Father. Mission accomplished. Then there was this man who said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. What he was in essence saying, if you are going to follow me, it's going to cost you something. It might mean leaving your family behind. It might mean leaving your country behind. We know that in countries these days, there are many Christians who are still underground because of persecution. In China, in Pakistan, in many countries where there are a lot of Muslim-controlled countries. We know that for certain. And before I even get into the text, I remember Pastor Nunes, she sp- sponsors a ministry in Pakistan. And each month we send the money to help. And the last time, I am usually the one who goes to Western Union. I went to send the money. And the person at the supermarket at Stop and Shop sent it to a bank. You know, it's a payout location. And the gentleman kept texting me back and forth, "Sister, I can't get the money. Sister," but there was, you know, a language barrier because his English was not so good. And then he said, "They don't give money to Christians. Muslim bank don't pay Christians." I was astounded because it's a bank. I had to go back to Stop and Shop and ask them to get the money back from Western Union and do the transaction over again. So even today, Christians are being persecuted. Maybe not in America, maybe not yet, and I pray to God it never happens, but it is happening. So we go back to the text. What does following Jesus entail? What's the cost of discipleship? First, giving up our own way. As some translations say, denying ourselves. Some have erroneously taken this to mean that we must deny ourselves certain pleasures or preferences in life. To some people, this seems to mean that we should never own new cars or make a lot of money. They think that every believer should look humble and cultivate a weak, non-assertive personality. But this is an inaccurate interpretation. You can look humble and act non-assertive all the time and still not give up your own way in the way Jesus intends. Giving up my own way means saying no to what I want to say yes to what the Lord wants. Jesus has the right to rule over me, to rule over us. So when he applies his rulership and leads us in a certain direction, we do not resist and we do not wrestle. We go, we do, we obey. We say no to what we want because he is in charge. He rules our lives. We obey him. We acknowledge that he has the right to rule over us. He is not only our Savior, he is also our Lord. And as Lord, he is in charge. Secondly, we must take up our cross daily. So we are not just giving up our own way, but we must now take up a cross every day. I'll share this commentary with you by Pastor Charles Swindoll. Take up our cross daily had more meaning during the days when crucifixions were common than they do in our day. Back then, a condemned criminal would be forced to carry a cross beam, a piece of timber that would later be attached to a vertical beam to the place of execution. Criminals would leave the place where they were condemned, be given a piece of timber to carry on their shoulders, and drag or carry it, if they could, all the way to the execution site. If you remember, Christ had to carry a cross and someone helped him along the way. When you saw somebody carrying a crossbeam, you knew it was a one-way trip. You knew that in that individual's time was about to end. He or she would die in a public execution. What a word picture for Jesus to use for people who were familiar with that kind of scene. But there's even more. To take up our cross daily means to die to our own plans and dreams and desires. To die to the pressing demands of our own physical cravings. And to put to death all our selfish arrangements for living so that Christ has preeminence. It means making him the one in charge of our lives. 3, we must follow him. Once we have denied ourselves and are taking up our crosses on a daily basis, we just now follow him. As the hymn goes, "Where he leads me, I will follow. The good news is that with Christ, we are called to live in freedom. Not freedom to satisfy our sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. Galatians 5:13 says, we allow the Holy Spirit to be activated in our lives, to be our guide, keep us grounded, focused, producing good fruits, fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. We say, wow, that's a lot. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is hard. Yes, it is. Remember, anything worth having carries a heavy price tag. Excelling in school, students also carry a heavy price tag. So is following Christ. Discipleship has its cost. It also has its rewards. So the question is, what's hindering you? Is the thought of full submission to Christ's authority what's hindering you because you can't bear not being in charge of your own life? Is it the thought that something you consider so very important or someone you can't give up, some vice maybe? What is hindering you from making a commitment to follow Jesus? Have you, like the rich young ruler, counted the cost and decided it's too great a cost for you? Are you waiting until you find Mr. or Mrs. Wright and get married and settle down? Remember, God counted the cost of bringing mankind back to Him. John 16 tells us, for God so loved the world, you and me, that He gave. What did He give? His only begotten Son. And what is the promise? That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Many people have their lives taken because of the gospel. All the disciples. William Tyndale, he was burnt at the stake. Many have lost their lives. Many today, many in yesteryear. But they never faltered in sacrificing that because they were assured of eternal life. And I'll share a little story about myself with you. I accepted Christ when I was 16 years old in high school. And oh, what a beautiful time that was. I wasn't facing persecution. I was free to worship, to serve God, to evangelize for Him. I went to college and I did the same. But growing up in rural Jamaica, I had no TV, so I had books. Books, books, and more books. So I read. I was an avid reader. But came the day when I started working, when I went back to Kingston, and I lived at my brother's house. And he had TV. I never had TV growing up. I would go to church every Sunday. And then one day, I found out, you know what came on at 10:30 every Sunday morning? Movies. The best movies. Movies I've heard about, but I've never seen. The greatest show on earth. So many. So on a Sunday morning, I would get up, take my shower, wash my hair, put it in the setters, sit under the dryer, and 10:30, it was done. And I would sit in front of that TV, and I would feast on those movies. Did I stop reading my Bible? No. But you know what? When we continue to do something that is not connecting with the vine, when we are not connecting, we become less powerful. Less powerful because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And that's what happened to me. After a while, I didn't go to church. It wasn't for some guy. It was just because I just wanted to see those movies. And my cousin that we were living in my brother's house, she didn't go to church either. And I didn't have the conviction. But one day, see, I have an uncle. I had an uncle who was a pastor, and his son was a pastor, and his wife is also a pastor. And I went to see my cousin in Upper St. Andrew. Christine would know where I'm talking. And I drove Reverend Ewan to church that morning. Oh, Reverend Veronica Ewan. And her sermon title that day was, "Have You Surrendered All?" And I listened to her, and there was something warring inside of me. Because you know what? I knew what was right. And as the book of James said, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I sat there and I listened. And it kept gnawing at me. Something inside of me saying, "Joan, are you fully surrendered? And if not, what's hindering you?" I got up and I walked up to the altar. This, the year was 1992. And I rededicated my life to the Lord. And last week when Pastor asked me to bring this message, my cousin's wife, Sister Veronica Ewan, is still in Jamaica. She's in her 70s, and I called her. We call her Sister Precious. And I said, "Sister Precious." And we recounted that Sunday. And I said to her, "My pastor has asked me to deliver the word next week because she's going to be away. And you know what my sermon title is?" And she said, "What is it, my sister?" I said, "What's hindering you?" Because I answered that question that day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can say today, I am fully surrendered. There is nothing hindering me. But my question to you today, for those who are under the sound of my voice, if you have not accepted Jesus, what's hindering you? And if you have, but you are not totally surrendered, what is hindering you? And the next question is it worth it? Whatever it is that is hindering you, is it worth it? Are you willing to take a chance that, okay, if I accept Christ, I am assured of eternal life? But if it doesn't come, you have nothing to lose. However, if you don't take that chance, you will have everything to lose. So the question is, what's hindering you? And is it worth it? I'm so sorry. In closing, I just want to say, today is the only day we are promised. Tomorrow is promised to no one. There is no tomorrow, because when tomorrow comes, it's today. Okay? So it says, today, if you hear his voice, you answer. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, to now is the accepted time. Are you going to answer that? Are you going to recommit your lives to the Lord? Think about it. We may leave from here and walk straight into eternity. Let us not live in regret. Let us make our call on election sure. Let us pray for our church.